Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. LZ Granderson, how are you this Friday afternoon?
You know, I'm doing all right, my man. I'm doing all right. You know, been busy writing and, you know, doing my little TV stuff about this incredible week we've had and exchanging text messages with people, including Doc Rivers. And, you know, I'm in a good space. I thought that, you know, that what the players, what the athletes really all across all those sports did and what they were able to show with their strength and unity is amazing. And I'm so happy that you and I and all the listeners were able to witness this together, because this is historic, man.
It is. It is absolutely historic, and there's no question about it. And there is more to come as the games will get back. Some of the sports obviously have gone back today, and the NBA, who had, you know, was the impetus to all of this, will begin and resume their games tomorrow, including the Lakers game right here at 6 o'clock, tipping off at 6 o'clock on this very station, and our coverage will begin 90 minutes before tip-off, so make sure you are set for that. But yes, I think it is a day to reflect and to look forward to some stuff, too, and to celebrate, as Chris mentioned in the open. I don't think there's any question about that. So, LZ,
what
I mentioned...
What a gorgeous open, by the way.
Yeah, it was. Chris did a really nice job there, for sure.
Have we ever had Scully and King in the same open?
I don't believe so, and I thought that was impressive to work them both in. Yeah, and speaking of your columns, my father-in-law complimented your most recent column to me this afternoon. He sent me a message to let me know that he enjoyed it.
Am I Cuban now? Am I part Cuban?
I mean, my father-in-law, he is American, so I'll make you Cuban. I can dub you that if you'd like, but you know, I don't believe he can.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize you had that authority. So what's taken so long? We've been friends for years.
And I mean, you never asked.
All right. I do have a Latino alter ego.
I know. The only thing we've talked about Cubans is that you once dated one, is what you told me.
Yeah, all I needed was one.
Yeah.
And I got it.
It's not easy.
I got it. Small sample size, but I think I got an understanding.
It's not easy. That's all I'm saying.
It's not easy.
Not easy.
Not even Juan Carlos Granderson can handle it.
Yeah, I am.
That is my alter ego. Juan Carlos Granderson.
I am not always a day at the park. I can tell you that. And my people are the same. But anyway, so good things have come out of this week. And one of those things is the NBA players and owners forming a coalition, LZ. And out of that coalition and out of the conversations that the players have had with the owners and the players' leadership has had with the owners and the league, is that NBA arenas will be used as voting centers. And I know there's still a few that need to work out their issues with their local municipalities. I'm not 100% sure on Staples Center at the moment, but I did see that Steve Ballmer has already put out, and the Clippers have put out, that the Forum, because they own that facility, will be used as a voting center. So there will be more of that, and my guess is this will get done, and there is more public pressure on these municipalities and the local leadership in these 30 cities. To make this all happen. I mean, they're not all in the same, I guess, 28 cities, but you get the drift. In different parts of the city, these arenas are in different parts. So it is 30 different facilities. But I think that that's a great place to start, right?
Absolutely. You know, and I don't want to spend too much time talking about what I write for the LA Times, but I will say that this was something I was pushing for in the middle of the summer, George, that you had... What was obvious was a sweeping, aggressive voter suppression sort of initiative that was happening, whether it was coordinated or not, who knows. But also knew that we had a whole bunch of stadiums that were sitting there empty. And, you know, when I wrote a piece back in, I believe it was early July, maybe mid-July, I talked about, you know, one of the ways that the team presidents and owners can do more than just say Black Lives Matter is by actions. And I thought a simple action was to provide a space where people can come and vote in person, and yet was large enough so that we were being socially distanced. And I'm really happy to see that the Dodger Stadium, you know, announced that it was doing it, you know, not too long ago. And now the entire NBA community is rallying around this idea of saying, hey, listen, we have resources right at our disposal that can help alleviate a lot of pain and pressure. Let's use it. And I'm just thrilled. Like I said, I'm just thrilled all week, man. This is historic.
Yeah, and look, there's a lot of work that goes into this. Chris Paul, we kind of shouted him out yesterday because, you know, he's the president of the Players Association, and a lot of this falls on his shoulders. And he had a press conference earlier today, LZ, and here is what Chris Paul, NBA Players Association president, said about this coalition and all the work that's gone into this.
Well, what we're doing right now in our league is huge. And I think for the young guys in our league to get a chance to see how guys are really coming together and speak and see real change, real action, because guys are tired. Like, I mean, tired. And I'm saying, when I say tired, we're not physically tired. We're just tired of seeing the same thing over and over again, right? I was blessed and fortunate enough to talk to Jacob, to talk to Jacob Blake's father. And he's a Winston-Salem State graduate and was in my hometown of Winston-Salem for a while. And it's emotional. It's emotional, especially when you're a black man and you know that when George Hill spoke, he talked about being a black man. He was hurt. He was hurt. We all hurt. We all tired of just seeing the same thing over and over again. And everybody just expect us to be okay just because we get paid great money. You know, we're human. We have really real feelings. And I'm glad that we got a chance to get in a room together to talk with one another and not just cross paths and say, good luck in your game.
Yeah, so look, a lot of work, and I would imagine they're pretty damn tired. But one thing that stood out from some of the reporting that's been done, and Mark Spears had this story, of course, of the Undefeated, our friend here at ESPN, that Chris Paul was not happy about one thing in particular, and it was when they took a poll, that, you know, they had guys kind of take a poll of how many were actually registered to vote. And it turns out that of the 300 players or so that were in the room, only 20%, or actually there's less now because it's the playoffs. So it was, about 200 or so players. And of those 200 or so players, only about 20% of them were registered to vote. And he lit them up. He lit them up like he'd be an official with a bad call. You know what I'm saying? During a game. And he's right. And he says those numbers, and apparently Doc chimed in as well and said that those numbers need to be, you know, 80 to 85% or above. Like, and I think that they apparently the Players Association and the league is now making sure to get them registered to vote in time for the election in November, which is a good thing. But I could just listen. We've both been around Chris Paul before, and I could just imagine how furious he must have been just visualizing that and trying to see how all that thing played out as he realized that only 20% of the players were actually registered to vote.
It was, for me, the most frustrating aspect to come out of all the reporting that happened over the last 48 hours with the NBA. It wasn't about what LeBron did or didn't do, or what Patrick Beverly said or didn't say, or Michelle Rob. None of that really moved me emotionally. But when I heard that maybe up to 80%, if not more, of the players weren't registered to vote, I was absolutely furious.
Yeah.
Furious enough, and I'm not even BSing you, to go out for a run in the heat just to blow off some steam. Because you have to think about this. The NBA stopped sports again.
Yes. Yes.
Because of issues of social justice and police brutality and criminal justice before. The NBA stopped it, starting with the players in Milwaukee and spreading across the league. Thoughts of leaving the bubble, stopping the postseason altogether, all stemming from the shooting that happened in Kenosha. And you mean to tell me these jokers aren't even registered to vote? Now, I recognize that some people can be disenfranchised. I get that. I understand it. You know, I've been covering politics as it pertains to minorities for a long time. I get it. You feel like your vote doesn't count. I get it. But read the damn room, man. You got Black Lives Matter and education reform and peace and all this stuff in the back of your jersey. And then in November, you can't even participate in the voting process?
Yeah, and it's so easy now, LZ. Like, literally, if you turn on your phone and you hit the browser, you can literally just type in the words "how to register to vote," and the damn link pops up. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that hard. Like, you know, back in the day, you had to mail stuff, right? Like, you had to go somewhere. Yep. Like, now you can do the whole process of registering online.
It is embarrassing, man. It's embarrassing. And I tell you, I felt the exact same way 4 years ago when I learned that Colin Kaepernick didn't
Correct.
Vote either.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, hold up, dog. I get it. I get it. You don't think who's president matters. But there are so many other issues on the ballot. And in the state of California at the time, there were actually initiatives, George, dealing specifically with criminal justice reform that Colin Kaepernick had eliminated himself from because he wasn't able to vote. And here we are again talking about the league that stopped sports because of criminal justice reform and social equity, stopped all the sports. And when they go back to their respective cities or states, if there are any issues dealing specifically with criminal justice reform or voting for a district attorney who may or may not be someone that you may want in office, you're not even eligible to do the simplest of things, which is to vote.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, agreed. So it will get done, it looks like, in the bubble, which is a good thing. So that will transpire. And Chris Paul had every right to be upset, for sure. Games will return tomorrow. We will talk to Doris Burke, the queen, the GOAT, Doris Burke of ESPN. We love her. Everyone loves her. We will talk to her in about 2.5 minutes or so. And also, it is National Red Wine Day, as you heard us talk with Mason in Ireland. I got to get Doris's, red wine expertise, and Ooh. I need to get what is the go-to red wine? I may be clued in on some of this stuff, but I want the audience to get clued in on some of that. So we'll talk to Doris about that and a number of things in a second. We will get into the games this weekend with her, including the Lakers game.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Ooh, ooh. Don't forget, Doris Burke going to join us here in a moment. But first, streaming September 4th, Disney's new movie Mulan, available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock their premiere access. Make sure you get on that. Disney is giving you the opportunity to watch it at home. A movie that was going to be in theaters in Mulan and one that everyone is waiting for with bated breath, like LZ is, I'm sure.
I'm so excited. I'm so, so freaking excited. I love the animated version. But this one, this Mulan looks as if she's like going to be decapitating dudes. Like the other one was kind of like, the cartoon version, Jakora, was like, she was just trying to, do the right things. She
right.
With Eddie Murphy. She's
right.
Just trying to, tell a story that girls can do it too. But now this Mulan looks like she's angry and that she's going to like take out some people. She's not even hiding her ponytail. All the commercials I've seen, she's just free flowing hair. She wants you to know a woman just beat your ass. I love it.
I do. I love it, too. I just want to see more and more and more of it. There are movies, by the way, that are going to the theater, like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure or whatever.
whatever. That means you didn't like the first one. Or the
it was just okay. It was just okay.
I'm sure you're right. The first two had a young Keanu Reeves in it, so I might have been distracted. This one, he's all bloated and stuff, so I'm sure I'll see the truth now.
He does look strange, doesn't he?
He's bloated, man.
He is.
Let's put it this way. If there's a John Wick 4, he's going to get killed.
Well, hopefully his dog can save him this time instead of the other way around. You know what I'm
Maybe.
Saying?
So,
spoiler
Maybe.
Alert if you haven't seen the first three. But anyway, it is also National Red Wine Day at 5:30, LZ, 1 hour from now. You and I've got 10 wine and food pairings that I will bestow upon the audience for National Red Wine Day. We will do that today because we're going to, this is what we're here for. We are not only here to provide a service of discussing sports, but we're a family. We feel like the audience is a family. And because of that, I believe that we need to do them a solid and help them on National Red Wine Day. Maybe on their way home, they pick it up. You know, they stop at Vaughn's or Albertson's or Ralph's or whatever. Pick up a nice bottle, one of the ones we mentioned with a pairing. Make it for dinner. Boom. Who hooks you up? Sedano and LZ. That's who hooks you up.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Do I need to grow a thicker mustache?
Perhaps.
All right. I'll think about that.
Yeah.
National wine. Is there any red wine you do not like, George?
Is there any kind of wine I do not like?
Like red wine specifically.
I mean, I'm not a huge Merlot guy, as we discussed with the guys. But yeah, I'm trying to think. Let me see. I like Pinot Noir. I like Cabernet. I like some old world wines, right? Like Dylan Hernandez Ooh. Was talking about yesterday too.
Okay.
But yeah, it just depends, you know? I pretty much like everything. Merlot, if that's all you got, I'll take it. Ooh, no. Moscato, no. I'm not doing Moscato. I don't love the sparkling wines all that
what?
Much. No, that's like girly stuff, Laura. Sorry.
Well, I'm a girl, guys, in case
well, that
guys
is true,
not.
Yes. But it's just not my cup of tea. Or a cup
it's
of wine.
It's not tea. It's supposed to be wine.
Yeah.
It's like a glass of wine.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I pretty much drink everything. If a glass of gasoline had the right coloring, I could probably get 2 sips down before I realize what's happening.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just not a bubble. You know, I do okay with champagne occasionally, but I just the sparkling wine
like the
is not my thing. It's not my thing. But you know what? Since we've been talking about National Red Wine Day, and we can ask mm-hmm. Doris this question, since I was just asked about the sparkling wine. One of my favorite people, not only to work with, but just in general, is Doris Burke. She is the GOAT. She is the queen of the NBA, and she joins us now here on Sedano and LZ on 710 ESPN here in L.A. DB, before we get into basketball, before we get into all the serious stuff, on National Red Wine Day today, what is Doris Burke going to partake in this evening at some point?
The great Dave O'Brien, of course, of ESPN and Red Sox Nation, has gotten me into Quintessa red wine. So that would be my selection of the day.
Okay.
That sounds fancy. Anything that starts with Q. Anything that starts with a letter Q, it just sounds fancier.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now just because I feel like I'm missing out on all of this. How about sparkling wine, DB? Where are you on sparkling wine? I'm not a huge fan.
You don't love sparkling wine? Oh, my goodness. I'll take it all. Cava, champagne, Prosecco, you name it. Whatever form it comes in, I'm drinking it.
I love it. I love it. I love it. The great Doris Burke joining us here. All right, DB, before we get into the basketball, because we'll have basketball back beginning tomorrow and, of course, on Sunday as well. It's been a wild week down there in Orlando, and you're in the bubble. You're there. How would you best describe your feelings about what you've witnessed there these last couple of days?
Well, I can tell you that the day the Milwaukee Bucks decided not to play their game, I had been in my hotel room prepping and flipped on what was to be the local Orlando station, because as you know, if you're in a particular city, NBA TV is blacked out. And just absolutely riveted to my television because of this bold action taken by the Milwaukee Bucks. And, you know, as the next day or two, you know, sort of unfolded, I think the one thing I thought, George, is just I was really, you know, I stood in awe of what these men are trying to do down here. And I can't pretend to know their frustration, right? I'm a white woman raised in the New York, New Jersey area. I've got no clue, you know. I've had my own, you know, battles over the course of my career regarding gender and equality and all of those things. But certainly, you know, I'm not staring down life-threatening situations. And so I would just say awe. I've been in awe, and I know it's challenging on so many levels for these men in so many ways. And but I'm also excited to get back to basketball, and I am thrilled that they decided to stay and to sort of continue their fight in a very public way. I don't know what's best. You know, George, one thing I did say, though, depending on if there's enough progress and if these athletes believe fully that they're going to get the kind of commitment they need, I have wondered if ever the leadership of the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NHL, because the WNBA would be all in, you know this, but if they could get all of the major professional sports leagues' leaderships together and decide what do we want, there would be real power in that. It's probably too hard an ask, but I am intrigued by the idea.
Well, Doris, we've had 11 franchises in California all come together to form one alliance. So you got to think, you know, half of that can't be too much harder than the 11 egos all fighting for the same media space. So your wish, your dream, I don't think it's too much of a pipe dream, to be quite honest with you. I do have some breaking news for you, though, Doris. I know you're usually one that likes to break the news, but I just got a text from one Michelle Denise Beadle. And she wants you to know that your wine choice is perfection, and you're the smartest. That is a direct quote.
Give text Beats back and tell her she's the best. I miss seeing her. I miss jumping in her car service when she's on the road. But I'm glad she approves. That makes me quite happy.
Yes, yes. And it makes us happy that games are now returning. And we have a couple of intriguing series, Doris, that are tied 2-2 that I think at the beginning of the postseason we didn't think would be at this stage. And I'm talking Houston, OKC, and then obviously Dallas and the Clippers. Of those two series, which scenario situation you find more shocking?
Oh, boy. Well, probably not Oklahoma City, only because they've overachieved all year. And as long as they can keep those games close enough, LZ, you know that they have that closing lineup, which I think now has fallen to second in terms of their ability to close games. But you're essentially closing with three-point guards, all of whom who can, you know, can manipulate pick and rolls and sort of create good shots. So I would probably say Dallas, because I didn't think, I mean, I knew they could score, but I don't know. I guess I did not. I'm watching Luka be great and still questioning, can he sustain it? And at this point, I can't give you a rationale as to why I would be surprised he could sustain it. You know, I got to be honest with you. I find Luka to be maybe the most compelling figure in basketball to watch right now. Many would say Giannis, because I did vote him Defensive Player of the Year and an MVP. But I can't take my eyes off Luka. This guy is just the angles, the misdirection, the shot making, how he can touch the paint so consistently, which is how maybe the best offense all year has thrived. It's really built around his skill set. So
now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
DB, Doris Burke joining us here, the great Doris Burke on Sedano and LZ on 710 ESPN. Let me ask you about LeBron, because it felt like during the time in the bubble, and even that first playoff game, despite the historic stat line, it didn't feel like LeBron just yet. And we know about his regimen and what he spends on his body, but the timeline here is clearly a lot different. He was peaking in March, and it felt like he was starting over as the bubble started here and the restart happened. But these last two games, 30 points plus, 10 assists plus, close to 10 rebounds. That, to me, is the LeBron James we've all come to expect. What have you seen from him over the last several games that may have kind of jump-started him to being LeBron James again?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. I mean, when they first arrived and through the seeding games and as you said, the early part of the series, you know, I thought he lacked a little bit of aggression as a scorer. Trying to ramp his body back up after that layoff. We know how consistently he keeps himself prepared physically, mentally. But this is a unique challenge down here. I heard Danny Green in an interview earlier today talking about sort of appreciating Paul George's sentiments because of how challenging this is. The days off, sort of watching your social media, all of these things. Like, guys, I'm in the second least restrictive environment, so I have a ton of freedom, comparatively speaking, and I still find these days a little bit of a grind. And now you add performance pressure and the monotony of what you're doing and sort of stepping outside of your comfort zone. You know, I think this is challenging for all of these players. I think eventually we knew LeBron would find his footing because when you prepare as he prepares, eventually that work comes to fruition. But, you know, I think it's interesting for them because you still wonder, you know, will they consistently make shots? You know, there's going to be a lot on KCP, a lot on Anthony Davis making threes to provide the necessary spacing. So I'm curious to see, you know, how they progress, that's for sure.
Do you think fans understand or appreciate the mental health aspect of what this season is going to toll on the players? Like, I hear people focusing in on the number of games that are going to be played and, you know, they shouldn't be too upset, they're rich millionaires. But I'm also hearing from inside the bubble that this might be the hardest championship ever. Do you think fans get that?
I don't know that they can appreciate it, and I'd be interested in both of your perspectives as you watch these games on television, because I've wondered to myself, how is the fan consuming this? How does it feel to a fan? I will tell you that I watch a lot of games in my room when I'm not working. And if the game is compelling and it's a possession ball game down the stretch, then I am just as riveted as I might be with a full arena. Can you tell me, and I would say to you, they probably don't, and nor should we probably expect them to understand the challenges. I think they're the contemporaries, the coaches, anybody who's living here in the bubble will appreciate this LZ in terms of how hard it is. But can you just give me a sense of how you're consuming these games, what it feels like, how close to normal, or just how you're sort of processing what you're seeing here?
Well, I will tell you personally that when Luka hit that three, the last thing that crossed my mind was, oh, too bad, it's in an empty arena. So
right.
I treated it as if it was the real deal, nothing was different, and it was electrifying. George, you?
Yeah,
I felt the exact same way to you know, your point and Doris's point. It's just that if the game is close, you can feel the intensity, right? Like, the benches are more into it. I think that even the few people that are in the building, right? Like, you can kind of hear them a little bit. And perhaps, Doris, that gets better as we get past the first round, right? And the families are allegedly allowed perhaps in the building in a certain zone, right? And there will be some cheering, I guess, going on if the families are allowed inside the arenas. I think that will help a little bit. It'll kind of make it feel a little AAU, right? Or maybe a little high school.
Right.
But I think that would add an element to it. But I think overall, like, as just someone who observes television and, of course, who has been on these broadcasts, I feel like us and TNT and the league has just done as good a job as you can do, whether it's piping in the noise and the music and just trying their best to create as great an atmosphere as possible. I think there are times that, you know, if I'm just half paying attention because the game isn't super close yet, and the music is blaring as they're going to timeout and stuff, it does still trick you into it feeling the same. So I think everyone's doing the best with their circumstances. But to your point and LZ's point, if it's crunch time and there's 5 minutes to go and it's a 2 or 3 possession game, I think people are focused in on trying to win that basketball game. And you can see it because the intensity on the floor gets ramped up.
Yeah, and I've been really blown away by, the quality of play here. And, you know, I've heard some interesting theories about some of the shot making. One of them is, you know, the one thing these guys could consistently do while they were sort of in, you know, in the land that we're all living in at the moment, which is, you know, you can get to a gym and you can get to a, you know, with a basket. And the one thing you can do consistently is shoot it. So, yeah, it's interesting. It's been a fascinating thing, and I think I'm just so happy to be a part of it because it's an unusual circumstance, but also because I do think we're at a pivotal point in American history, and I'm hopeful that progress comes and that these guys are a big part of making change culturally. So we'll see.
Yeah, no question about it. DB, we are, of course, always
– George,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, I have one more thing that I have to share. There's a little bit more breaking news. Beads wants you to know, Doris, that it was actually Chauncey's car service that she would jump in, and that's why you thought it was her car service. It was actually Chauncey's car service and not hers.
She was jacking Billups' car service, and then you all jacked his car service, DB.
She is the absolute best. I miss her.
Yeah, we all miss her. There is no question about it. So, DB.
Guys, thank you for having me sincerely.
Yes.
And if you want to talk again, I'd love to visit with you both.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for making time for us. Keep focused in there. You're kicking ass. Keep doing a great job. And now you have also gotten me online to Quintessa's website to order a bottle of wine. So I appreciate that. Mrs. Sedano may eventually appreciate it once it's here, but maybe not so much when she sees the charge. But either way, it's going to work itself out. Thanks again.
Be well.
All right. Take care. There she is, the great Doris Burke, the GOAT, the queen, LZ.
Yes.
She is the best.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm so glad that she's in the bubble.
Yeah.
Because she's just she's a rock star, man. Like, I mean, and it's a bubble full of rock stars, but she just feels like the rockiest of the stars.
Yes. There's no doubt about that for sure. She is the star of the stars. And I'm now going to buy this bottle of wine because it's got 95 points on Wine Advocate. You got to buy something with 95 points.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
I mean, it's out of 100. You know what I mean? So it's all right. I mean, if Beto wants to jump in and start talking wine, let's go. It is National Red Wine Day. You know what I mean?
Does Mad Dog 2020 count as a wine?
No. What is wrong with you? Like, why is this a thing today? Who put this on this poll today, by the way? Who suggested Mad Dog 2020?
Janice.
I haven't had Mad Dog 2020 since I was 16. I mean, 21 years old. Okay?
Actually, pretty sure it was Janice. It was either Janice or me. I can't remember.
The first time I had Mad Dog 2020 was at a quinceañera. Yeah. How about that?
Wait, please, in a parking lot. Please tell me you weren't a guest.
Of course I was a guest. I wasn't going to be able to drink out booze at a quinceañera when I was 15 years old. So me and my buddies got somebody. We gave some dude an extra $10, and he bought us the booze at the convenience store.
I was just making sure that it wasn't like your sister's and you were just getting hammered at her.
No, it was like it was when I was in high school. Laura, say what you just said. Go ahead. Tell LZ.
I said Latinos just know how to get it, man.
We just got to do it. Just got to do it, man.
We start early. Yeah. I'm not proud of that, but we start early.
Yeah. I learned to drink scotch with an old girlfriend of mine's uncles. I was like 18 years old, and they were just like, this will put air in your chest there, sonny.
Well, I'm just going to let you know that in the African-American community, being proactive in destroying our liver is also important to us. And so the Mad Dog, the Cisco, the you know, Wild Irish Rose, the Mickey's, the Slits.
Okay, which one of those was the worst? Which one of those the worst? Because I would vote Cisco.
Oh man, I'm gonna go with Mickey's. That little malt liquor in the little small green bottle, you know.
Yeah, Greg.
Yeah, Mickey's Old English was the worst. But if you're going Mickey's, that's a malt liquor. That's not a small bottle. I don't know if you got some tiny Mickey's bottle.
Well, they were small little bottles, though. Small little bottles. Yeah, they were like green small little bottles.
No, Mickey's? No, Mickey's was a 40.
No, you could get the small little rounder bottles looking.
Oh, I've never had those. Whenever I had Mickey's, it was always it was a 40. It was a. I was going for the full thing.
40 in the classroom.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with it? Yeah,
in your backpack. I mean, I'm not seeing the issue.
Well, everybody knows that. And why do you have Mad Dog 2020 question mark on the text exchange?
I don't know. I don't even know what that is.
Oh my God.
Oh hell! What are we doing here?
Wait,
George?
Greg, you don't know what Mad Dog 2020 is?
I have zero idea what you're talking about.
What the hell is going on here, George Sedano? I blame
you. Is this Cruz Russo for president? I don't understand.
You've known Greg since what? He was an intern or something?
I've known Greg for 15 years.
This is your fault, Sedano. This isn't his.
My fault. It's Karen's fault, too. She worked with
him. It is Karen's fault.
I know what it is. I'm just laughing. He doesn't. My brother gave it to me when I was like 15, perhaps.
There you go. Which one of those?
Because you have a good brother. That's why.
I have lots of brothers.
Karen, which one of those is the worst out of all of those? Mickey's, Cisco, Mad Dog 2020. Which is the worst one?
I had a bad experience with Mickey, so I would prefer if you never brought Mickey's up again. I'll just leave it at that.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. 877-710-ESPN. Which is the worst? 877-710-ESPN. Laura, which is the worst before we go to traffic?
Four Locos.
Four Locos?
Yeah.
What is that? That I'm not familiar with.
You don't know Four Locos?
What do you mean?
Come on now.
Come on, George.
I blame you, Greg. Greg, I blame you.
I don't know Four Locos. Is that has to be like a California thing.
I don't think so.
When did that stuff come out? Oh, no, but it came out in 2005. I mean, that's not, yeah, I mean, come on.
She's young.
I'm 32, man.
I know, but I'm old. You know what I mean? Like 2005, I was, you know, popping bottles.
Sorry. I was popping that bottle.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that can.
All right. Well, we'll include Four Locos. But speaking of locos, you have Four Locos right here, and we had a fifth with Karen K. Sedano and LZ with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Doris Burke for joining us there. If you missed any part of that interview, you could always go back and listen on the Sedano and LZ podcast, on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, wherever you find your podcasts. So, LZ, the NBA is back, and the games begin tomorrow. So, tomorrow we will have the Magic and Bucks at 12:30 Pacific, the Thunder and Rockets at 3:30 Pacific, and the Lakers and Trailblazers at 6 Pacific. Our pregame coverage here on the station for Lakers and Blazers begins at 4 o'clock. And then on Sunday, El Domingo, 10 a.m. I love me some 10 a.m. hoops. That is the one part of this thing that I'm really enjoying. Celtics-Raptors, right? Game one of the second round. Clippers and Mavericks at 12:30. And Nuggets-Jazz at 5:30. I'm a little surprised that Clippers-Mavericks is not the later game. But
I would have thought that would have been the later game, right?
Yeah.
The more star-studded?
Well, apparently ESPN and TNT, I guess they get their picks of what to run. And TNT has the last game, so ESPN probably had the first pick, so they wanted probably Clippers-Mavs. That's probably how it worked out.
Oh,
if I had to guess.
Dude, I have to tell you this real quick.
Yeah.
I just flipped over to MTV because they were showing the 2000 MTV Movie Awards.
Yeah.
And a Beyonce from 20 years ago just popped up on screen. And for a hot second, I thought I was straight.
Snapback power.
I was just like, who the hell is that? And I was like, oh my God, that was Beyonce?
Yeah.
20 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, let me get back to ESPN before things get crazy.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Exactly. One more thing. You had said you texted with Michelle Beadle during that conversation we were having with Doris, to which I found out for the first time that Michelle D. Beadle stood for Denise.
Yes. Yes. Every now and then, if you get enough alcohol in, you can call her Delicious instead of Denise. But generally speaking, Denise is the middle name.
I just shot her a text that said, "Hi, Denise." So I'm waiting to see what comes from that. So,
it was nice knowing you.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's sending the hitman over as we speak to take you out.
I did send a second text. I always wondered what Michelle D. Beadle stood for.
Now you know.
So there you have it. All right. That's what you need to know. We have been – somehow we stumbled upon the worst alcohol you've ever had. It is National Red Wine Day, which is not a bad alcohol. Clearly, we appreciate red wine around here. So we will have that for you in just a moment. We will continue talking about red wine. We'll have a fun red wine and food pairing for everyone on National Red Wine Day at 5:30. We're going to do that. Clinton Yates is going to join us in 15 minutes, so we'll chat with him as well. So before that, LZ – I wanted to mention that it is Jackie Robinson Day. Major League Baseball, because of the schedule obviously being a lot different, has chosen to honor Jackie Robinson Day today. And we have an essay done by Mookie Betts of your Los Angeles Dodgers. And I thought it's only a minute long. I will get to the calls on your worst liquor experience in a second. And, whether it's Four Locos or Mickey's Beer or Mad Dog. But I thought it was important on Jackie Robinson Day that we hear from Mookie Betts. So here's the Mookie Betts essay for Jackie Robinson Day.
The most luxurious possession, the richest treasure anybody has, is his personal dignity. If I had a room jammed with trophies, awards, and citations, and a child of mine came into the room and asked what I had done in defense of those fighting, and I had to tell that child I had kept quiet, that I had been timid, I would have to mark myself a total failure in the whole business of living. I cannot say I have it made while our country drives full speed ahead to a deeper rift between men and women of varying colors, speeds along a course towards more and more racism. Life is not a spectator sport. If you're going to spend your whole life in the grandstand just watching what goes on, in my opinion, you're wasting your life. Until every child can have an equal opportunity in youth and manhood, until hunger is not only immoral but illegal, until hatred is recognized as a disease, a scourge, an epidemic, and treated as such, until racism and sexism are conquered, until that day, Jackie Robinson and no one else can say he hasn't made. There's not an American in this country free until every one of us is free.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Really awesome. That was
Mookie
so awesome.
Did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic job.
So we will we're going to run that a couple times during the show today. We'll have some fun as well, obviously. But I thought it was very important to have that essay that Mookie created and the Dodgers helped put together for him as well from a production standpoint. So that's pretty awesome stuff.
I'm really happy that Major League Baseball decided to continue the tradition of honoring Jackie Robinson.
Yeah, of course they had to. Yeah, of course. Made all the sense in the world. All right, let's go to the phones because we have people that want to weigh in on this worst alcohol they've ever had debate. Carrie is in San Diego. Hello, Carrie.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So the worst alcohol I've had, the Mad Dog 2020, I'll have to say Thunderbird.
Ooh,
girl.
Oh, God.
Thunderbird and Everclear.
Everclear. Good Lord.
Oh, my gosh. Why do you just drink Lysol? Would it be easier?
Exactly. I grew up in Texas. I'm a Tex-Mex, and I lived in San Diego for 30 years, and that was the first thing that came to mind was Thunderbird. We would have drive-store liquors. You would drive up and you can get whatever you want, 17, 16. They never carded you. You can buy anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Good
Lord. Which county in this in Texas, just in case?
This was El Paso County, your other favorite place.
Oh,
okay.
There you go.
Well, Carrie.
Well, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
We are glad you
made it through that era. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because the two alcohols you just said – could have killed a horse, so I'm glad you made it.
But I do remember, I'll never forget Prince when Purple Rain rolled out. Then the Mickeys and the big green.
Yeah.
Cut those bottles, yep. We would sneak those into the theater and Prince all day.
Yeah, for sure. Carrie, thank you so much. Stay healthy and stay safe, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye now. All right, let's go to Dennis in Hacienda Heights. Hello, Dennis.
Yo, what up? What up? Oh, okay.
What up?
So the worst, it has to be the Four Loko. It was an energy drink with malt liquor, essentially. They banned it years ago and had to get it to a lower, like, mm-hmm. level of alcohol.
Laura.
And then a red wine take. There is a winery called Wilson Creek. I don't know if you ever heard of it. If you have, get the bourbon barrel Zinfandel and the Ooh. Petit Syrah. Great. Spicy, toasty. Amazing. And okay. then one suggestion with the whole NBA thing. I think what happened was is that we got NBA back-to-back-to-back-to-back, just basketball games. I thought there was going to be some type of programming in the middle of games where we would focus and dedicate to like Black Lives Matter and something like that, but there hasn't been that at all. So I feel like there needs to be like a day off where we're just dedicated to that, listening to different experiences or maybe some activities that the players can do, something. So that way, you know, we're not just always focused on basketball.
That makes sense, and thank you for the call, Dennis. Stay healthy, stay safe. We appreciate it, but that does make sense. By the way, speaking of Four Loko, LZ, I'm looking this up here. So they had, as Dennis mentioned, four different alcohol by volumes. They had 6%, 10%, 12%, 14%. As an energy drink, that is ridiculous.
With an energy drink is the kicker.
Right. 660 calories for one can.
George.
Yeah.
We don't count calories once we decide to start drinking, bro. Once we've made this
Thank
decision,
you,
Bridgers is going to poison our bodies. We don't count calories. Okay. So just go for it.
I'm just saying. That's
did
a lot.
Did either of you ever take the Steel Reserve Challenge?
No. Go on. No, did you?
I did. I did not finish the Steel Reserve Challenge. Trying to drink 2 40s of Steel Reserve, and it's almost impossible because there's like 9% alcohol in those things. They are ridiculous. You ever have Steel Reserve? No?
I have, yes. It's not great.
They're terrible.
It's not great.
Absolutely terrible. So you got to just get through it.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yes.
Have you guys done the Thunder Challenge?
The Thunder Challenge?
Yeah.
Thunder Challenge?
Yeah.
Have you talked to my ex or something?
No.
The Thunder Challenge.
No, so it's a song. You have to drink until it says thunder. And sometimes it's really quick. And then sometimes it's like a minute
like
long.
Like the AC/DC song?
I think so. I don't know. My friend, we were kind of gone when we did it, but yeah, man, it was bad. I would not recommend anyone doing that.
Oh yeah, because there's parts in that song where they go forever before they say thunder again, and then there are parts that they say it very quickly. Yes.
It is that one, and it's that one. Yeah, my friend
that
got
one or
caught.
The Imagine Dragons one.
No, it's the ACD. Yeah, my friend got caught. ACDC, yeah. My friend got caught. It was like a minute, and he just kept drinking. I'm like, man, you're a champ, because I can't do that.
Yeah. Good lord,
that's hilarious.
What kind of friends just do you have?
Just so you
the
guys
drinking
know,
kind.
Clearly.
Our listeners are way classier than we are. We have a poll up on the ESPN LA Twitter.
Yeah.
It's National Red Wine Day. What's your favorite red wine? The choices are Cab, Merlot, Malbec, and Mad Dog. And Cabernet Sauvignons are leading
at
43%.
Thank you.
Second place is Merlot. Third place is Mad Dog, proving my point that Malbec is pure trash.
All right, let's go to Yub in Simi Valley. What's up?
Yoop, you only read the Bible? The name is Job.
Oh, well, that's what... first of all...
Where do you get the
name? I did that. I did
first
that.
Of all,
I put it in first. Calm
first
down,
of all, first of all, Job...
He said we're going to hell.
Okay, we're going to hell anyway, so that's not really the issue. But Laura, in parentheses, wrote it that way, so that's why I said it that way.
Well, then we'll put the blame on her then.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
It's okay. She can handle it. She's a tough girl.
I got it.
Yeah, that's right. She was nice, though. She's very nice.
She is the best.
She is very nice.
The one that hasn't been named was actually my nickname in high school, because after class, we'd have that time in between. And before football practice, we'd go start it out, and I drank it so much, the nickname was Night Train.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know if any of you guys had the Night Train.
Yeah, well, I think you have to be of a certain age, I feel like.
Line.
Yeah, you have to be of a certain age to have had that. But that is true. Thank you, Job, for the call. We appreciate it. Stay healthy and stay safe. Richard Perretta tweets us, and he says, LZ, how about the Century Challenge? 100 shots of beer on the minute, every minute for 100 minutes. That's just absurd.
No, that's called death.
Yeah.
I'm not really trying to go out like that.
What's wrong with you people? Yeah, I mean, for the love of God.
No.
Paul is next. Paul, what's up?
What's up? Okay, PC from Placentia. I just wanted to say I thought this was between Mickey's and Mad Dog, so I had to go with Mickey's. I've seen more friends put it out at the end of the night for Mickey's than anything. And, yes, they do come in those little bottles called grenades.
Yeah.
That's what we call them. Yeah, and the 22s and done the Century Club. All my fire has been taken, even after a former bartender. One drink we left out altogether. Not sure how this happened. Coming from LA is Old English.
Oh, yeah. Greg mentioned it during the break. We haven't talked about it on the air, but yeah, Old English is terrible.
So that's a destroyer. And anyhow, peace out, guys. Thanks.
Yeah. How about Colt 45? Billy D. Williams made me try that once.
Colt 45?
Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mostly remember the commercials, though.
Yeah, Billy was the best in those commercials.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned, George, about our friend Dave Gaudadillo. I think.
Yeah.
How you pronounce it? I'm not sure. Anyway, he sent us pictures on Instagram of Thunderbird.
Okay.
And they look recent, which is why I'm concerned. I'm hoping this isn't his kitchen. I'm hoping this is like just some screen grab from like, you know, Google search. That he doesn't actually have Night Train and Thunderbird in the house currently.
Oh, I'm looking at it here. Yeah, he sent it to us on Instagram. Dave Delgadillo. Yes, he sent it to us. Oh, man. Yeah, there is. That Thunderbird does look. The Thunderbird doesn't look so recent, but the Night Train looks fairly recent.
Night Train looks like it's sitting right on the kitchen counter right now.
Yeah.
Dave, please tell us you're not drinking that.
Actually, it looks like it's a hotel room.
Oh, well, then, Dave, do your thing, bro. Do your thing. I didn't mean to interrupt, dog. I was just letting you know I saw what you was tweeting.
Oh, it's funny. Let me go to Jason and Downey, where my favorite Cuban restaurant and bakery is Tropicana.
Funny story. I got to pick up pastries for work, so I'm actually going to go there right after.
Nice. Well, tell if Mel is there or Mel Jr., tell them I say hello.
You got it. So I was about to get on Bergman for not knowing what the grenades were, but then he brought up the beer that I hate, which made me a man, which is the Steel Reserve 211. And you, the games that they're talking about, I'm not sure if you guys ever heard of Edward 40 Hands, where you basically, you wrap the 40s around your hand with tape, and you basically can't cut them off until you finish. So if you're kind of a slow drinker, those, I would say maybe like half of the bottle is just tastes like pee. So those were the days.
Yeah, that sounds pretty awful, but I'm sure they were the days.
Fun? I was like, how was that fun?
877-710-ESPN. Clint Yates will join us in just a moment. We'll ask him about his awful alcohol experience, but we will talk some basketball with him because the NBA is back. And again, the Lakers and Blazers tomorrow. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock on this very station, so make sure you tune in to that. So LeBron apparently ruffled some feathers. And we'll touch on that in the next hour, this hour as well. But Clint Yates stops by. We talk Lakers, Blazers, Clippers, Mavs, and Bad Booze next. Oh, but first, I forgot. They had to play the music to remind me. My girl, KK.
Okay, you talk about Bad Booze. How could you guys not bring up Boone's Farm? Like big.
Oh, yes. Yes.
So Tickle Pink, that was that. Well, I thought I was like uppity drinking Tickle Pink. Oh, good Lord. Boone's Farm. That's awful. It's like $1.99. You could still buy it, I believe, at Big Lots.